When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
All right, welcome to the Browns Wire podcast. This is your host, Josh Keatley. With me is Donovan James. Donovan was telling me about his recruiting exploits. We had a podcast last night, and he did not bring up the fact that today was National Signing Day. Before we jump in, because we talk a lot about college on this podcast, we're going to, obviously, everybody knows the rules. We do give our pre-review of what we did last week, our three-game best bets for college, our three-game best bets for NFL, and then we just kind of, that's basically it. We talk about the playoffs here and there, but I want to ask your opinion. Everybody's saying Ohio State had the best recruiting class, one of the best. I guess Alabama's up there, but everybody's ranting and raving about how great the Ohio State class is. I guess on the defensive line, they got two big superstar five-stars, including a Jack Sawyer, I guess was his name.
Yeah, that's one of the fan questions is about I'll ask the question later, or present the question later, rather. But Jack Sawyer. You get Donovan Johnson up front. You get Amike, as receiver, number one receiver in many people's eyes. You get Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes.
Now, I've heard of that, but that's not really fair. I'm not real into the for everybody. Just so everybody knows, I will admit right up front, I know nothing about recruiting. I've been out of the recruiting game for some time. But Marvin Harrison Jr., I've heard of, obviously. But I've also heard he's a badass, and he's, got 2 inches on his dad, right?
Yeah, man. He's a physical wide receiver. He's like a possession receiver, though. He's going to go across the middle and get some big catches for you across the middle. And Mika can do everything. I can't wait to see him on that team. Jack Sawyer, though, that's a prize possession. He's going to be an impact player for sure next year. But, Ohio State recruiting class is great. Alabama, I would say, is one, and then Ohio State, two. So, it's 1A, 1B, though. It's really close. Alabama just got a little bit better depth. They got 4 of the top 10 receivers in the country. And obviously they already have the best receiver in the country in my eyes. He's leaving. They got another Devontae Smith too that plays corner. So they're replacing Devontae Smith. They're replacing receivers. They got the quarterback and they don't need one. They got a lot of stuff. We got running backs.
So Jack Sawyer is kind of the gold boy for the Ohio State class because he's from Ohio. But there's another defensive lineman that's supposed to announce tomorrow, right? And I think that everybody's saying that he's pretty much going to go to Ohio State. God, I want to say he had a Samoan name.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking. I can't think of his name right now, but I thought you were talking about Corey Foreman. No.
I think his last name started with an A, but he's supposed to announce tomorrow. Yeah. But that was who everybody was saying was going to be the real stud. But Jack Sawyer kind of had the, everybody – is excited about him because he's actually from Ohio.
Yeah, Jack's a local kid, but Jack's the number one rated defensive end.
He was number one.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So he can do a lot of different things. I like him. He can stand up because inside he can't really play yet. He needs to get bigger and stronger, but he's really good. He's gonna be next in line. One of the Bosa brothers, and what is it? Harrison,
hopefully Malik Chase Young is up to the hype.
Yeah, Chase Young, all those guys. Jack Sawyer is kind of. I don't know. I don't really have a comp for him, but he is not as good as those three, but he's just a notch below. He's very technical, though.
Great.
Very technical.
Well, I'm excited. I don't think this was Ohio State's best team that they've ever had, but I think that they're very close to being, one of the obviously they are one of the best teams in the nation, but I think that I thought that the last year's Ohio State team, but Ohio State's team was the best team I've ever seen. Full transparency. And I think that they're close to getting back to that level. I thought last year's Ohio State team was insane. And I'm still upset that they lost to Clemson. But I don't think this team is on that level.
I don't think so either. I really haven't had a chance to see it.
I mean, they're close. They're close. They just, you know, it's hard. It's hard to lose a guy like Chase Young and
J.K. You know what I mean?
They lost, yeah, J.K. Dobbins. You know, obviously you see the running backs in the backfield. Just they don't have that all-around skill. But, all right, I think I bored everybody enough. Do you want to rock and roll? What do you want to start out with, Dobbins? I'll let you see. You want to do listener questions? You want to do jump right into the gambling bets? Or did you want – we had a little bit of a conversation yesterday. We had our top five.
I can run the fan questions real quick.
Let's do it.
One of them is I would take it more than you, but you can take it if you want. You're the Ohio State fan. They just asked what Ohio State recruit in this class is going to make the most impact next year. So immediate impact.
I'm going to give that to you, dude.
I'd probably say Donovan Jackson, the offensive tackle. I don't know the depth of offensive tackle for Ohio State in front. I don't have it in front of me. You would know better than me. That's why I said I'll go back to you.
Well, if he's good enough, he'll play.
I think he's the second best tackle in the country, and he's 6'6", 322. His body's ready. He's physical. He can move. I mean, he's not Orlando Pace, but I mean, you know, I mean, he's.
Or a few guys
They're saying this guy. They already have him as a first round pick in 3 years. Like now,
like who's doing mock drafts for 3 years from now?
I think it was Greg Burns from. Scout.com that kind of, he doesn't do mock drafts, but he was like, this guy is like a lock for first round pick. He's a can't miss prospect. And he's I like him. He's great. I think he's a freshman All American day one when he walks in. Not All American, just a top freshman. So I would say him and Jack Sawyer, obviously, because I mean Jack Sawyer is the number one defensive edge rusher in the country. So I mean getting him out there is a lot easier. Because I know how they would rotate guys and get pass rushers in. So I'll say those two for me. But
that's fair, given the depth, the mixture of the hype and the depth. We got some questions from Sebastian Cornwell in regard to gambling. We'll get to your questions, Sebastian. We appreciate you reaching out. We appreciate you watching. Don, were there any other right-end questions before we get to Sebastian stuff?
Yeah, they wanted to know – top five MVP for the NFL right now?
My top five MVPs? Oh my god.
I can go first if you're not ready, like so you can think about it.
Well, obviously Mahomes is up there. Obviously Aaron Rodgers is up. Right. Tell me if you disagree so far, right? Because I feel like this is probably a communal.
Yeah.
I feel like we can agree on five because the MVP is not who do I think is the best player in the NFL. It's who's going to win. It's the Heisman Trophy of the NFL. It's you know it's pretty you know it's going to be a quarterback. And you know it's going to be someone from a winning team, right?
Right.
So Aaron Rodgers is going to be up there. Patrick Mahomes is going to be up there.
Those are my top two in that order: Rodgers and Mahomes. I would have Henry next. Derrick Henry.
Do you think Derrick Henry's up there?
He's having one of the best seasons of all time.
It depends on how deep they go into the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, I think either way, dude.
I think he might
have the most rushing yards in NFL history in the season. So I mean, you have to put him in the. He's close.
I guess that's true. I think that if you're gonna put Derrick Henry in the discussion, you can put. This is gonna sound biased, but you could put Baker Mayfield in that discussion, depending on how these next couple weeks go, depending on how deep the Browns go in the playoffs. I mean, you know, he is slinging it, dude.
Yeah, he is, but I think I wouldn't put him in the top five. He's not even really close to me. sorry, I love Baker. Though. I mean, Nick Chubb is the MVP of that team. So I'll put him. He missed a couple games, but I mean, there's just
yeah,
so.
He did.
No, I love Baker. I just think it's a little too. If he keeps this up, yeah, he'll get in it late. He'll get a late discussion, but I don't think he's gonna keep this up for the next three games. I could be wrong.
What about Ben Roethlisberger?
No, Josh Allen is my number four.
That's a good one. I feel stupid because that's a good one. That's a very good one.
And then I would have Kyler Murray at five.
Kyler Murray? So you think Kyler Murray is more likely to get MVP than Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes.
who before 2 weeks ago had his team at 9-0, and they on a team that does nothing but pass it. And you got they're playing the Bengals this upcoming week, which we're going to get to and we're going to discuss.
I have Kyler Murray. I just think him running.
Kyler Murray?
I mean, he's won in fantasy.
Dude, he's had games where he looks like shit. RG3 was number one in fantasy points too. His sophomore is second year in the NFL, and we know how that turned out.
Well, yeah, it was top 10 MVP voting. Last year, Lamar was Jackson. He? Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Yeah, his second year, he was top 10 MVP voting. Lamar Jackson was number one in fantasy last year. He won the MVP. Now, obviously, Kyler hasn't won as many games, but I mean, the Cardinals aren't that great. Like, I mean, they're right where they're supposed to be.
No,
like,
but they've lost games. I don't want to say they've lost games because of Kyler. That's not fair. They've been in positions where other quarterbacks have pulled them out of the guck, or they've been in situations where if Kyler would do this instead of this. There's been weeks where we've watched them and we've talked about it on this podcast where it was like, oh, is the NFL figuring him out? Because we both kind of said, no, they're not figuring him out. It's
not
just,
at all to me, yeah. Like,
but he's had games where he hadn't looked good.
But that's fine. I mean, it's the second year. He's better than most.
Well, I just don't. Yeah. I don't think he's in the MVP. So who's your top five?
That's my top? Rodgers, Mahomes, Henry, Allen, and Kyler.
In that order.
And Kyler's had moments too with the D Hop catch. Now you can give D Hop all the credit, but somebody had to make that.
Yeah.
And there's not many people scrambling out and getting that throw off. Like there's like five.
That's a really good question.
Because I mean, he's had a moment. Josh Allen had his moment Sunday night. Henry's just been so dominant for 2 years in a row. It's like, what moment does he need, right? And Mahomes obviously is Mahomes, and Rodgers. I mean, he's just been balling out and playing amazing. But, past the whole season, just consistent. I think the MVP.
I think you'd be hard pressed to pull it out of Aaron Rodgers' arms. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, top five is a great. It's a great question.
It's a good question.
But I just don't think that there's five guys. I just don't think there is. I feel like the MVP trophy is in Aaron Rodgers' hands.
I agree. You have to make a ballot. I mean, with 10 guys on it, though. I mean,
do you? You can't just check one guy and send it in.
No,
no. They make you vote on five. I don't know how it works.
You gotta vote for 10 guys.
I don't think you vote on 10 guys. I think it's three, right?
I thought
because that was the big. That was the big discussion with Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson's never received an MVP vote. Remember?
I thought they took the top three guys, like kind of like the Heisman. Like the Heisman, they only invite four guys, but like you vote on.
I think
there's a ballot when you get the Heisman, but like,
right?
You know what I mean? Like,
but the Heisman's different because you rank them 1, 2, 3,
right?
When you get your Heisman, the MVP is not like that. You get like three like dash points. Like, I think this guy there's a point. This guy deserves a point. This guy, we'll have to double check. That's a good Google for after this because I think that we're both wrong about how that process works. Because remember, Russell Wilson's never had an MVP vote, and everybody keeps talking about that like that's insane.
I didn't know he never had a vote.
He's never received an MVP vote. But if you go back and you look at it, there's like last year there was only like two guys that got MVP votes at all.
Yeah, Lamar is unanimous, man. This year it's
That's right. Yeah,
Rodgers, Mahomes, and Henry. Then, but they asked top five, so I would say Josh Allen and Kyler. Allen is creeping up into the top three though. Allen. Not gonna win probably, but I mean he could though.
Depending on how the next couple weeks go. I
mean, Aaron Rodgers is playing amazing ball, but like he's probably gonna get it, honestly. But like I said, Mahomes had a bad night, but if he comes back throws four touchdowns, and beats the Saints next week.
Yeah, I mean, and that's gonna be everybody's gonna watch that game too.
It'd be nice for Josh to be in. I mean, for these young guys like Kyler and Josh, and they're so young, man. It's just nice for them to be in the discussion. No one thought. Except Mel Kiper, that Josh Allen would be in the discussion for MVP this early. And Kyler, people doubted him so much too. So I'm just happy for the young cats that get a shot to be in the mix. I mean, obviously, Justin's a Pro Bowl quarterback to me too. Herbert is a rookie. He's a Pro Bowl type quarterback. He probably won't make it, but I'm happy for those young guys at quarterback that are in the discussion.
We'll double
check. And Baker too, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll double check this and bring it up for the next show. But I after my quick Google, I believe there's only 50 NFL writers that get a vote for the MVP, and they get to vote for one person. So that's why Lamar Jackson unanimous MVP last year is because he got all 50 votes. That's why when everybody says, well, Russell Wilson's never got a vote, that's why it makes sense because Lamar Jackson was unanimous. The year before that, Patrick Mahomes got like 48 and Drew Brees had like two. Yeah. And the year before that, Carson Wentz had like three. Drew Brees had like one. And then Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Was it? I don't know. Well, yeah. That's something. Yeah, it was Tom Brady. I think there's only 50 votes to get. So some of the guys we're bringing up, they ain't going to even get a vote. I would assume.
No, it'd be Rodgers, Mahomes. And
That's probably the list. Yep.
I think if Derrick Henry breaks Eric Dickerson's record, he'll like one vote. Because there's these guys that like swear by records sometimes. Like if you break
that's fair. It's an impressive record. I mean that is
because I mean like I just think that Derrick Henry's degree of difficulty with like running backs are supposed to be done, dude. Especially running backs like him. For him to be doing that, a 250-pound 6'3" back. I thought those were extinct guys. Like that's what everyone told me. But he breaks the mold apparently. Everyone's supposed to be like McCaffrey or like Kareem Hunt or Saquon, but like Henry's just like, nah, dude, old school. I'm running you over, dude. Like,
they don't use him like McCaffrey though. Henry can't do what McCaffrey does.
I'm saying you don't need to. He's just old school. He's running you over. He's gonna run you over.
I ain't gonna line up Derrick Henry out in the slot or whatever.
I'd be scared to tackle that. He's the hardest person to tackle in the NFL. Gotta be.
Or potentially
Tyreek because you can't touch him.
Kyler Murray, small and slippery as shit too.
So I guess you want to do the tight end corners and wide receivers real quick.
Let's save that for last. Did you have any more listener questions?
No, that was it.
Cool because Sebastian. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I was saying there was one more, but like I think it kind of we should save it.
Okay, that's cool. Sebastian had a question. Hey, guys, what college games this week are a lock-in? And then a second question was, would you take Notre Dame +13 versus Clemson this week? So that opens the door for us to go in and talk about college football. Let me give you a brief preview about what I did last week. And, Sebastian, you're going to want to hear this before you listen to my locks because I did not have the best week, Donovan. Did not. Actually, you know what? My overall record was great. I won way more games. It was in the 60%. But the games that I said on this podcast, I was 0-2. I bet on Indiana giving 9.5 to Purdue. That game got canceled due to COVID. I bet on Hawaii giving 20.5 to UNLV. I'm so close. Hawaii only won by 17. And then I bet on Northern Illinois getting 6 from Eastern Michigan. Again, another close one. Northern Illinois lost 33-41. So that was close. The spread there was 8. I don't regret those bets. I wouldn't bet on Northern Illinois again. I would bet this week if the Hawaii UNLV games happen again, I bet on Hawaii again. UNLV's terrible. We talk about UNLV pretty much every week. UNLV sucks.
Too much.
They're terrible. They're so bad. We talk about UNLV more than any other Mountain West school because they're like UNLV, Massachusetts, Florida Atlantic. There's just a couple teams that you can really pick apart and bet against because they're so terrible. Northern Illinois, I don't know who their coach is, but dude, I don't know if he's going to be there very long. They're rough, dude. Northern Illinois used to be good. They used to be good, and there's still some talent there. There's still some Lynch. Yeah, dude. Well, they got that quarterback there. That's Ross Bowers, and he's pretty good. He can move around pretty well. He can throw a decent ball.
You want to know something funny? Ross Bowers and Max Gillian were roommates, the UNLV quarterback. They were roommates at Cal. So that's funny, right? You're talking about
– I didn't know Ross Bowers even transferred from Cal.
They so both did. Funny. Chase Garbers is the quarterback now. He got them both out. But they're all pretty similar in talent. I mean, Chase is a little bit better. But, yeah, they were roommates in college.
So. Yeah, Bowers is solid. They just suck. And I thought Eastern Michigan's really bad. Yeah. But they have a pretty good coach there, and Chris Creighton, who actually coached Drake back when I played at Valpo. I would not bet on that game again. The Hawaii game, though, I'm okay with that. Shit happens. Donovan, how'd you do last week?
I did okay. I was 1-1. Look at my notes here. I was 1-1. I had a
game. 1-1, didn't you? Oh, you had a game canceled?
Yeah, I kind of stopped picking Pac-12 games. Cal and Washington was canceled. You know, Larry Scott, the disaster that is Larry Scott.
The Big Ten's even worse. Big Ten cancels games all the time.
I don't know. Y'all are still having a legit championship game, though. We're replacing teams in championship. They announced USC Washington. They're like, wait, just kidding, Oregon. Like, dude, come on. I feel so bad for my guys at SC. Like, they were, like, having to watch tape on both teams. They didn't know who they were going to play. That's the Pac-12, though. So, yeah, that game, lost that one. Won the USC game. It wasn't pretty, like every USC game this year. We've been sneaking by. But
you were right about that.
Yeah, won that one. But it was hard. It was hard. And then I lost the Illinois Northwestern game. You know, they couldn't cover, you know, 14 and a half. And Lovie Smith got fired because of it. So
that's right. It's okay to lose a bet if the guy loses his job over it. That's my motto, baby.
I thought that was like part of me betting, like.
Dude, I love Lovie Smith, by the way. I thought he was a great hire for Illinois. I was stoked. I was wrong. He'll be a
DC somewhere, and he'll probably do a really good job. Some guys are just meant to be coordinators.
That's true.
So yeah, I was 1-1. I wish Cal to play Washington. Because that's always a fun game, and it was such a slow. It was 2.5 this spread, but it just didn't. It won't happen. They're not remaking it up. So
yeah. Yeah. So let's dive in here. My number one best bet is I'm taking LSU getting 2 points from Mississippi. Mississippi currently sits at 4-4. LSU is 4-5. LSU was favored by 4 points when this line opened up. Okay. So that is a 6-point flip in my direction. And we talked about how LSU is a very talented team. Donovan, you know the recruiting rankings in like the back of your hand, and LSU has 4s and 5 stars up and down that roster. And Mississippi is not there yet. I know Lane Kiffin is building a little bit of an offensive fire, definitely an explosive offense, but they're still not as talented as LSU. Mississippi barely beat Mississippi State last week, 31-24. Mississippi State's not good. And LSU, I know they're coming off a big victory, so momentum might weigh against me. But I'm going to bet on LSU with getting those guys back. Remember, they beat Florida outright 37-34 as an away underdog by 23 points, and they had only 45 guys. No, it was 50 guys on scholarship. So they were missing 35 scholarship guys, including their first two quarterbacks. So they're going to get some of those guys back. So this team is going to be better. So the momentum as far as emotions for these kids is going against me. But I think with that talent, with that influx of talent, and you giving me 2 points, I feel comfortable with LSU here.
What'd you get that game at?
2 points. LSU, I'm getting 2 points. LSU was favored by 4.
Yeah.
Line open. Now LSU is the underdog by 2 points.
They're underdog by 2. That's crazy.
I know. See?
Yeah. I got a 1.5.
Who'd you take?
Ole Miss.
We're going opposite on this one? Explain yourself.
I mean, it's like everything you said. I was trying not to smile too hard. You're talking about the momentum. I think that game wasn't a fluke because LSU just showed up and played with their talented guys that they did have. But the offense, they're going to score points with Ole Miss, but I believe there's going to be some turnovers in this game. They're not. Well, Matt Corral's going to have a field day. He's been the bright spot of that. He's been the bright spot of the SEC to me, like quarterback play. Obviously, Mac is the first quarterback, first team, but second team quarterback might be Matt Corral. Dude, he's been balling in the SEC. So I got him in that offense. Elijah Moore and those boys score points. It's going to be high scoring.
They didn't play well last week.
High scoring game though. They had some people out too for COVID, but the high scoring game, very high scoring game. But and Max Johnson impressed me. Talk about recruiting. I wasn't worried about. I mean, I like Miles. I know Miles personally. He's a good kid. Well, he went down. And TJ went down. Another 4-star recruit. Max is a 4-star recruit. He's from Georgia, right here where I am, and watched him play. Obviously, watched his dad, Brad. You know, won a Super Bowl. His pops played pretty well. Not the best quarterback in the world, but I like LSU, and I think that emotion is going to kind of have them slacking a little early. And
it's hard to come off of a big win like that. I feel like that's a fair handicap. Yeah, that's a fair handicap in the other direction, and I acknowledge that. But like I said, you know, 33, if half of those guys come back, I mean, a lot of those guys were players. They started. They were, you know, they weren't just walk-ons. So, but that is a fair handicap. If you're betting on emotion, I would say go with Ole Miss. If you're betting on LSU being slightly better because of the return of their players, and you think that last week was a preview of what they possibly could do, that's fair. That I would bet LSU. I guess that's what it comes down to, is personal preference. Was that your number one bet?
No, it was my number one. That was just the first. I had to go with that one because you went with that one first.
Yeah, that's fair.
By the way, both are top 25 in recruiting. This year, obviously LSU is, and then Ole Miss is 13th right now, I think, composite, which is super, super duper high for them.
Back no, to Lane Kiffin always does a good job.
Recruiting. Oh yeah,
he did a good job recruiting at Florida Atlantic.
Dude, Darius said he was the best, dude, and Darius didn't go there. He went to Cal, really? But he was like my favorite person to talk to. Like, he was like, he just makes you seem like you're like friends with him, and you know him for like 10 minutes.
Wow.
Used car salesman.
Yeah, no shit. My second game, I got Wisconsin giving 12 points to Minnesota. Minnesota sits at 3-3. Wisconsin is 2-3. I would have thought this game was 2 touchdowns. I mean, if you had asked me, hey Josh, what do you think the spread is this game? I would say, Wisconsin will beat them by 2 touchdowns. So I'm getting it under that key number of 14. I'm very confident with that. Very happy with that. Minnesota did beat Nebraska last week, 24-17. But remember, like LSU, they had 33 players out too, and those players I'm hearing are not coming back. Rashad Bateman, their number one receiver, was actually he declared out. He's gone. He didn't play last week. Last week was his first game where he didn't play, and he ain't going to play against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a better team than Nebraska. Wisconsin did get their ass kicked from Iowa last week, 7-28. But I think Iowa's a very good team. Iowa's honestly probably the second best team in the Big Ten. But yeah, I feel like Wisconsin can take advantage of the shitty Minnesota defense, the injuries, the opt outs that Minnesota's dealing with, and I think that Wisconsin can put it together.
Is Graham Mertz playing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's been out. He had COVID, and he was actually really sick.
Was he?
Yeah, Chris Gerwin, I think, is a reporter up there, and he was saying like, yeah, like I mean, I know a lot of guys have been in contact with people with COVID or had it, but like he was like actually sick, like he lost like some weight and like had to cut. He was in bed the whole time. I had to really like.
Yeah, I my prediction.
He's been out for 2 months. Oh,
gone for a while.
He's been gone for a while. I just didn't know. I didn't know if he even came back last week. I know they said he was probably just not going to come back at all.
He did. No, you're right. He did play. He is going to start.
He came back last week. Okay, yeah. That's right. I thought he came back.
But he's not involved with my handicap at all. Okay, his bright spot at the beginning of the year where everybody's like, oh my God, he's a god. That's gone. He's not as great as we thought he was going to be. He's okay.
He's good. I like Graham. Yeah, he'll be a really good
player. My handicap has, whether he's in or out, I'm taking Wisconsin.
Well, yeah. His first game was like 16 of 17 with like 5 touchdowns. So, I mean, yeah, he's the 4-star biggest recruit they've had at quarterback since Russell. Yeah. That wasn't their own guy. Anyway, that's a good bet. I like that bet. Just asking if that he was playing. I wasn't sure. I got Tennessee over Texas A&M, 14. I don't think they'll win the game, no.
Tennessee's getting 14?
Yeah.
You're taking Tennessee?
Yeah, I'll take Tennessee. Pruitt's kind of coaching for his job a little bit. I don't know if they're going to really fire him yet. He's just kind of got there. It's only his really like second year. But, I mean, they've looked better without Jared Guantanamo Bay. Whether it's JT Stroud or Harrison Bailey, who I really am a fanboy of, if you can't tell for the past 3 years talking to me. And he hasn't looked as good as I thought he was, but they're also throwing him into the fire, man. They got Trey Smith at the front.
They beat the shit out of Vanderbilt last week, which I was kind of surprised about because Vanderbilt is.
Yeah, well, they really
Vanderbilt got blows.
Back to basics. They got back to basics, I feel like. Tennessee was playing good early, and then they got lucky this year, I'll say, because their non-conference was – Jeremy Pruitt would have got fired if they were playing their regular schedule. That's all I can say. He got lucky by only playing at these teams. He would have had Oklahoma, Memphis, West Virginia in that schedule. I don't know if they win either of those games, any three. They maybe would have beat Memphis.
But again, you're taking them getting 14 points
against Texas. But yeah, I'm taking it. Sorry, I got off track. I can talk about Tennessee forever. But I'm taking that. 10 points. I think A&M went by 7, 10
I'm
points.
I'm kind of surprised that Tennessee is only favored by 14 given their public perception and their high playoff ranking and all that bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think Tennessee has a lot of talent. And honestly, star-wise, just as much talent as A&M. And A&M's kind of – no one's really talking about them right now. They're ranked 5, but I feel like they're not, like, because no one really talks.
That's because they shouldn't be ranked 5. Yeah. It's because they got their ass kicked by Alabama. That's –
yeah, no, I mean, no one.
They've only played two winning teams.
Someone said they were like an invisible at number 5. I forgot who it was on the show. They're like, they're the most disrespected 5 team ever.
They're not. They shouldn't be, ranked number 5. You bet on Auburn when they played Texas A&M. Auburn blows. Auburn fired their coach, and Auburn was winning that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I bet against them twice now, so I need to – if they lose this week. I mean, A&M covered, though, you know what I mean? So they did what they needed to do, but they just
– Yeah, I know.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, that's the number 5 team in the country. I mean, yeah. Cincinnati doing that shit.
This is a weird team. This is a weird team. Like, I thought A&M was, like, a year away honestly, from being like a real number five, because their team,
they are, because they got beat by Alabama by 40 points. They're not. Yeah. I think that number five ranking is complete BS. With that said, though, I think Tennessee sucks.
Oh yeah, they do.
Well, I can see your handicap though. I mean, that being a solid handicap.
I'm just surprised A&M only has one loss. Like, I thought that's a three loss team. Like, for them to only have one loss actually impresses me, because
I don't think that they played any. I think they've only played three teams with the winning record, and they lost to one of them by 40 points.
I don't know. I was looking at their the real schedule, not the whatever this is, the COVID schedule, because out of conference, I mean they play hard teams all the time. Like, they play Clemson. I think they played Clemson this year, so they would have lost that game. Maybe I was looking at that.
Let's see here.
I mean, we know about the schedule last year. This year, I don't know.
Well, technically, Auburn has a winning record now. At the time of the conversation, Auburn had a losing record. But Auburn has a winning record. Well, so 1-2, they played Florida, who has a winning record.
See, I thought they'd lose that game. I thought they'd lose to Bama, and I thought it was Auburn. That's three right there. I thought they would lose. And I even count LSU, obviously, that's different. So that's three. That's three. I thought they'd lose right there. So
that's it, dude. So they've played Alabama, Florida, and Auburn. They only played three teams that have a winning record, and they lost to one by 30 points.
Yeah.
So I knew solid handicap. Bad.
No, it is. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think A&M's, like, to me, overachieving, and I think Tennessee's kind of right. Should be underachieving-ish. They got lucky they didn't have to play OU, Memphis, and West Virginia for their non-conference.
Yeah.
I'll say that. And then have to play Georgia and Florida too.
I'm not going to put money on that game, but that's a fair handicap. If you bet like you utilize the stock market, you're getting Tennessee low and you're getting Texas A&M high. So that might, you know, and Texas A&M doesn't, that 14 points is, you know, that you got to win. You got to dominate a little bit. So
I'm scared. Last thing on this game, only reason I'm scared of this game is because the BS points at the end that A&M going to try to put up to make their resume look better. Like, they're going to try, Jimbo's going to try to run the score up on Tennessee. And, it doesn't matter if it's Tennessee. Like, if they win by 30, it's better than 14. So I'm scared they're going to have the ball and not run it out. They're going to fucking score. Score.
It's so stupid you have to worry about that, but you're right. But,
I mean, that scares me. But other than that, yeah, I like this game. Excuse me for my language, Grandma. She's listening to this show. I'm sorry. Sorry.
She's our one viewer. We got one guy. I think Sebastian logged off. Boise State. My third game is Boise State giving 6.5 to San Jose State. San Jose State is 6-0. Boise State's 5-1. San Jose State is kind of one of the cooler stories of the college football landscape. So I've been watching them pretty closely, but I'm going to bet against them. I was surprised that this didn't hit 8 points. I'm getting it under a touchdown. I think Boise State can win by a touchdown. San Jose State was losing to Nevada 20-7 in the first half. Okay, Nevada collapsed towards the end of the first half. They had a missed field goal. Some things went wrong, and then the field flipped on them. San Jose State's very well coached, I think. But Boise State's well coached as well, and they're way better than Nevada. So if Nevada has a lead like that, they ain't gonna let it go. Boise State held Wyoming to 146 rushing yards last week. I know they didn't win impressively. They only won 17-9, but it was snowing out. It was, cold, windy. It was very unpleasant, and they held Wyoming to 146 rushing yards. Again, I understand that in those temperature, in that scenario, you're going to load the box. You know Wyoming's coming at you, but Wyoming is a very, very good running team. They rely on the run heavily. San Jose State does a little bit, but I don't think they have the horses. Wyoming has their skill revolves around the running backs and the linemen. And Hank Bachmeier, he's back. He's healthy. This will be his fifth start. He's very good, very underrated. I think if he would have been able to play the whole season, he would be in the conversation for one of the top quarterbacks of the season. But he's very good. You know, when you're still getting the rust off four games in. Now this will be his fifth game. I like this. I like Boise State giving 6.5. What do you think?
I like San Jose State has been impressing me, Nick Starkel. Speaking of A&M, coming from them, but I like that one. Boise State with Hank Bachmeier back. I like that. 6.5, you said, or 5.5?
6.5.
6.5.
6.5. I would get it under. Yeah. If you get under a touchdown, that might be my cutoff there.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. I really wanted to go with USC Oregon because I've been riding USC every game and they've been winning for me.
They've been winning, bro. They've been covering. USC is impressive.
They are. I'm not going to take them versus Oregon, though. I think they'll win the game. I actually took Ohio State and Northwestern 20.5.
You took Ohio State given the 20.5 points?
Yeah, I think Ohio State went by 4 touchdowns.
I like that bet.
Or more. Yeah, they're really going to. I went against Northwestern last week, what you said about
Texas A&M, Ohio State's probably going to look to pour it on to try to make sure that everybody knows that they belong in the playoffs.
And they're angry, man. They're pissed off they haven't gotten play. They're gonna this is not gonna be fun for Pat Fitzgerald. He might have to come out on the field and play linebacker again.
Northwestern's got a great defense, so I do think it's gonna. I do think it's gonna take a second. Like you might be sitting there at halftime going, "Oh my god, I'm gonna lose this bet," but I think that Ohio State's depth and speed is gonna really preserve. I think that Ohio State can win by 3 touchdowns. If you can get under that 21-point margin because you get it at 20.5, I feel like that's a good bet.
That's why, I saw it 20.5 with me, like, yeah, let's go. Because 3 touchdowns, man, that's – I'd be shocked if they're not going to lose. It can't happen, right? But, biggest upset in Big Ten history. No, I'm just kidding. But, App State, I guess. But anyway, yeah, this would be crazy. But no, Ohio State 20.5, I like it. Like you said, under 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
Well, you made another interesting point too. If you know a team is going to win, and your second handicap would, your second question would be, can they pour it on? Are they going to pour it on? What's their goal? And you know that with the conference championship and Ohio State trying to make a play in the playoffs, that they are going to try to pour it on. I think that's a safe bet. Before we move on to the NFL, Sebastian did have a question. Would you take Notre Dame plus 13 versus Clemson this week? I'm not touching that game. Okay, there's two smells. Okay, but my initial thought process, if you gun to my head, I'm taking Clemson. I think that Notre Dame lucked out the first round or the first time they played. You know, Notre Dame barely beat them when they had the backup quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is a different kind of beast. Clemson is going to come out with a vengeance. And just like you said, if they go up, they're taking their foot off the pedal. And this is an offense that when they are rolling, they're great. The issues I have and why I'm not betting the game is because we've seen Clemson not look like past Clemson teams. You know, they were losing to Syracuse for, I think it was only in the first quarter, but they were struggling with the Syracuse team. Do you know what I mean? When Trevor Lawrence was out, they were struggling with the Boston College team. And that's even with this is a team historically, even with their starting quarterback out, they would kind of put, you know, with the talent like Travis Etienne, they would put their foot on the gas pedal and it wouldn't matter. They're just, you know, a monster. So there are some question marks there. That and Notre Dame's defense. I'm not worried about Notre Dame's offense. I'm worried about Notre Dame's defense. This is a different Notre Dame defense. Usually we see lack of speed. You know, guys like Manti Te'o who are great. They fill the hole great. They wrap up. They don't miss tackles, blah, 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 blah. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of pass rush. They're big on the defensive line. They got defensive backs that can cover. That's my big issue. We saw that. We saw how good Notre Dame's defense is when they stifled North Carolina, who has an explosive offense. Yeah. We talked about that on this podcast, and if you don't want to listen to our podcast, all you have to do is look at the box score for the North Carolina-Miami game because Miami ain't bad either, and North Carolina made them look like a peewee squad. So those are some of my question marks with that game. Gun to my head, I'm taking Clemson because, like I said, I don't think that Notre Dame wins this game, and I think that if Clemson gets an opportunity to win, they're going to put their foot on the pedal.
Well, it's actually 10.5, right? Though the real spread, or is he saying 13? Because like
he wrote down 13. I would have to double check real quick. Because
I saw a 10.5 on Monday, so maybe it changed to 13. Because Clemson got their starting safety back and middle linebacker back, and I mean,
yeah, no, you're right. It is 10.5.
That's still 10.5. Okay.
Oh, with 13, yeah. But we don't know where he's looking. Maybe he's looking at another book. He has his book,
or he might be just betting a friendly wager.
He's got a 13. He just commented again. He's got a 13. We don't know where he's betting.
What
Bovada or something like that. Some of those websites are a little bit higher.
I'm not touching this game either, but it's the biggest game of the week, and I mean that's the one game I got to hang out with my girlfriend this weekend.
Gun to your head.
It's the game I told her I got to watch. I'll take Clemson.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd take Clemson, but by 13, I would take Notre Dame. I don't think they're going to – it would be a 10-point win.
Well, that's the question. So if you gun to your head, you got to put money on the game. Who you think?
Oh, okay. Oh, well
– the spread is 13.
Clemson, if the spread's 13, yeah, I would take Notre Dame.
Really?
I don't think
Clemson – because you think Clemson's going to win, but you don't think that they can stomp on Notre Dame.
No. Not having Justin Ross is big, man. Like, you can't I know people are just like kind of whatever about that because it's Clemson. Like, I know their recruiting is good, but they don't have Justin Ross on their team. No one does. Like, you know what I mean? I don't, Devontae Smith's amazing.
But yeah, but the difference between Trevor Lawrence and that freshman quarterback has got to be worth at least a touchdown and a field goal. It's got to be. We're talking about maybe the greatest quarterback in Clemson history with a freshman. I know he's good. I know he's a five-star recruit. You know, we've seen teams do it, like Ohio State, for example, you know, with the national championship with their third-string quarterback. But let's be realistic. That's a rarity. Trevor Lawrence is a freak.
This is the biggest game, not of his career.
I think that there are other –
It's the biggest game of it. Good. No, I just think – the guys being out on defense was more important than Trevor last game. I mean, obviously their offense wasn't really the problem. He did struggle on third downs, DJ, and the second overtime where he took two sacks. Yeah, he took second down, third down sack, and then they were like fourth and 34, and they tried to make a play. So that Trevor wouldn't have done that, but Etienne can't fumble the ball two times and drop passes. They're not replacing Justin Ross, obviously, but their receivers got to step up and make some plays. And then defense got to play better. Ian Book killed them on third down. He's the best quarterback on third down in the country, Ian Book. So
Sebastian just texted out. So we Bortle, basically what we agree that this game is too smelly for us to bet. I think if you're going to bet it, I'm going to bet Clemson. If you're going to bet it, you're going to take Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of 13. Right. So he also responded, do y'all have any confident games for this weekend? I need three games. So just to recap, Sebastian, we did talk about our favorite three games in college. I had LSU getting 2 points from Mississippi, Wisconsin giving 12 to Minnesota, and Boise State giving 6.5 to San Jose State. Donovan, what were your three games again?
Ohio State over Northwestern, 20.5. Tennessee, Texas A&M was 14. They were given, and then Ole Miss LSU. What did you say? I got it.
You got it. This is actually a good exercise. Let's pretend that we had to share a wallet. You and I had to pick three games. We disagree on the LSU Mississippi game, so let's get rid of that. Let's put our three most confident games out there. I really liked your Ohio State bet.
I liked your Boise, San Jose.
Okay, so our top three games would be Ohio State giving 20.5 to Northwestern, Boise State giving 6.5 to San Jose State. So now the question is, do we want to take Texas A&M, or do we want to take Tennessee or Wisconsin? That's the question.
Was Wisconsin Wisconsin's playing?
Wisconsin is favored by 12 points over Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll take Wisconsin. I like your Wisconsin Minnesota better than my Tennessee.
So that would be so if we have to narrow it down to three games, we're taking Wisconsin giving 12 points, Boise State giving 6.5, and Ohio State giving 20.5. I feel like those are three winning games. I feel like I have a lot of confidence in those games. It's funny that my most confident game was LSU, though. But you kind of convinced me not to. I'm less confident, and I'm not talking to you now that you're betting against it. But we spent enough time on that. We'll move on. Sebastian, we appreciate the comments, man. That's good talking, getting some comments in here and trying to, you know, that's a good exercise, trying to narrow it down between three games between us. We've never done that before. Usually it's just, hey, what do you got? What do I got? And we go ahead. you ready to move on to NFL?
Heck yeah, man. Let's go.
All right, so last week I did not have a great week, which was surprising. Usually I do pretty well in the NFL. The NFL has been kind of my hot spot lately. I took the Indianapolis Colts, giving 2.5 points to Las Vegas Raiders. Indianapolis destroyed the Raiders 44-27. I had no worries in that game. Green Bay, well, they struggled in the first half, but whatever. Green Bay, giving 7.5 to Detroit. Green Bay only won 31-24. I'm betting on that game 9 out of 10 times. That, you know, it was so close.
You said that half was going to kill us.
It did. And then New Orleans giving 7 points to Philadelphia. You won that bet. You took Philadelphia. I did not. I took New Orleans. New Orleans lost outright 21-24. I got to give you props. We talked about that game. My handicap was that New Orleans Saints are good and that their rookie quarterback is going to struggle and that the Eagles suck, and they've sucked all season long. Donovan, your handicap, you said, hey, there is history where when you get a new quarterback, there is some excitement and a pop, and these guys rally around the new quarterback. You were 100% right. Jalen Hurts may not be better than Carson Wentz. I'm not saying he is, but this team was better with Jalen Hurts. They rallied around him. They pushed him forward. He looked really good. He looked very capable, and the team stepped up. For that reason, I'm going to go ahead. Well, how was your weekend? Tell me how your weekend was.
Man, I was 2-1 and really – I mean, the Green Bay game, you know, half a point, it would have been 3-0. But so I'm happy. That's the best you can get. I've been 2-1 every week since I've been on the show in the NFL. so I'll take it. I'm winning 66.
That's what you do, bro.
I went out on a limb with the Buffalo, not Buffalo Pitt. I liked that game a lot. I circled that game early and was like, let's go. The Philly game, though, I was happy about that one. I'm happy Jalen did well his first start and got the W. You know, it wasn't amazing performance, but he did exactly what he needed to do.
Looked good. He looked real good. He looked real good. Yeah, 2-1 is all you can hope for, man. You know, the professional gamblers, they're looking to hit that 55-60% mark. Any more than that is just complete gravy. You got to make your profit first. You know, and this is also a good reminder now that, you know, we're talking about giving Sebastian three of our best bets. I'd never just bet what we're saying blindly. Never do that. I listen to gambling podcasts all day and all night. I never just say what they do and then bet it blindly. We're hoping to maybe help you look at the game in a different light. Last week with the Eagles game was a perfect example because we both brought two different prospects, two different ways to look at it. The LSU-Mississippi game is a perfect example. The games where we go head-to-head, I don't even care that I lost that game because I felt like that was some good information that was coming out, right? You opened my eyes. Okay, hey, I got to pay attention to this next time because that's something I overlooked. But that leads me to my number one best bet this week. I'm double dipping, dude. I'm going back. Philadelphia Eagles getting 6 points from the Arizona Cardinals. I was kind of surprised that the spread was this, that the Eagles were getting this many points. I kind of thought it would be in the field goal range. The Eagles just came off of a win. They just broke their four games. They just broke that skid. I know that the Cardinals destroyed the Giants, but the Giants were, you know, injured. We talked about that yesterday. And they won 26-7. Philadelphia is technically not eliminated from the playoffs. I know they're 4-6-1, Arizona 7-6, but Philadelphia is still actually fighting for something. People forget that. But yeah, man, Jalen Hurts helped them. They lost four games in a row before Jalen Hurts started that last game. Let's see if he can do it two in a row, man. I really think he's onto something. Fun fact, the referee for that game is Craig Wolstead. Okay. Now, he favors away games. The away teams are 58% against the spread when Craig Wolstead is the ref. So, boom, dude, drop dodge. You didn't know that.
Deep stat. My stat was just like, you know, Oklahoma quarterback's going up. The Lincoln Riley Bowl. Lincoln Riley, you know, obviously. Texas quarterback. Texas legends, too, at quarterback. Jalen and Kyler. Yeah, that's a good bet. I like it. I think Arizona wins that game, but do they win by six more than 6.5? I don't know. Arizona's kind of a weird team. The Eagles are fighting for something. I do think, though, they're going to struggle with this. The secondary's been struggling a lot, so they're going to have that with D-Hop. Darius Slay versus D-Hop going to be
– That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'll take that all
day. That'll be fun.
It's the rest of them. It's Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald.
I just love the corner receiver matchups. Like, they're so fun to me. But that's one of them. I wish I could just, like, get a mic'd up between, like, top corner and top receiver every week. Because D-Hop versus Jalen, I think. Yeah, versus Jalen.
Neither one of those guys talk, right? They don't talk shit to – do they do that? Jalen talks shit.
Jalen versus D-Hop. No, D-Hop doesn't really talk too much, but he will, dude. Don't piss D-Hop off. He's not – he's quiet and goes about his business, but he'll talk shit.
But, what's your one?
I got Pittsburgh over Cincinnati.
That's my number two bet, dude. Number
11.5. Like,
that's
come on, man.
I got 13.
I opened at 11.5, dude. It's easy. Like, I don't, they're gonna like 30 points. It's like, easy. I mean, yeah, it's easy money.
The last time we agreed on a game and we both said, why is it this low? We lost. I can't remember what game it was, but we lost. We couldn't figure it out and we lost the bet. But I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. What's your breakdown? I'll let you handicap it.
I mean, they're just going to be able to run the football, which they haven't done. I think they'll be able to get back to the run, spread it out with the receivers, do anything they want really on offense. And then defensively, you're looking at Ryan Finley at quarterback. And I mean, you know. Shout out Ryan Finley.
Brandon Allen. It doesn't matter. Way.
Finley's a little better to me, but it doesn't matter. No. Joe Mixon's out. Like, they don't have anything on offense. You know what I mean?
Gio Bernard got benched, and he's the second back on the team. Super strange.
It's just like they don't have anything. Oh, they're going real young. They're trying to just play guys that, you know, get some experience, and that's fine. But I don't. Now, Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily blow teams out all the time, but I think they'll win this one by 24.
Bro, the Bengals are terrible. They're
bad. Besides the Jets, the worst team in the NFL right now.
I mean, I know that the Steelers have won two games in a row, the Steelers have lost two games in a row, but they still won 11 games before that. They're obviously a very good team. The Bengals are 2-10-1. They're done. Their season is over. You said the words "get back." That's what this game is. It's a get back game. After losing to the Buffalo Bills 26-15, they need something to boost their morale, help them out moving forward, looking better. You know, try to get back on track, and this is it, dude. They're going to absolutely destroy the Bengals, who, by the way, last week got destroyed by the Cowboys, who are worse than the Steelers, 30-7. They've lost five games in a row, and it's definitely going to be six. So I'm glad we came to an agreement on that one. That's a good one. That was actually my second best bet. Yeah. So what's number two?
Number two for me is Tampa Bay over Atlanta Falcons, 5.5.
Okay.
So I mean, Pittsburgh, big game for them. They're still trying to win the North. They're trying to win. First place, which is number one seed in this playoff format, is more important than it's been in 4 years, because only the number one seed gets a bye, not the two seed this year. Yeah. So it's huge, and you want to play at home still, even though there's not many fans. So that's big. Tampa Bay, not going to be number one seed necessarily, but same thing. You want to get a home game in that warm weather, you know what I mean, down in Tampa. You want to get as many home games as possible down there. You just have to win. They're not in yet. I mean, they're fighting still, and they got to get better week to week. Last week, they didn't look great. They pulled off the victory, but, I mean, they're still trying to figure themselves out. You got Fournette out. I think that's kind of a blessing in disguise, honestly. Rojo's got a finger injury, though. LeSean McCoy, man, Shady's back. He had a couple carries last week, and they said they're going to give him more this week. I like that. I like LeSean McCoy still. I still think he has a little juice left just for 10 carries a game. Now, he's not going to carry 26, 30 times anymore.
There you go.
Sorry, I like Shady McCoy. Do 8 to 10 carries. I'm not saying give the guy 25, 30 carries anymore. That's old. But 18 carries, him, Rojo's still going to play. Tom's going to throw. They got to stop throwing so many deep passes, though, man. They really got to stop doing that. Bruce Arians, I know he likes those big arm quarterbacks that go downfield. But
Tom Brady does, dude.
That's just not him. Like, Tom Brady's not a throwing. Dude, like, why? He's not using them, right? Like, he's just not.
Don't understand that Jameis Winston is honestly, he's more people when they see look at Tom Brady. When they look at Tom Brady, they assume that he is the when they look at him, they assume he's the best quarterback in every single aspect of the NFL history, and that is simply not true. He does a lot of things right. He's very talented, but most of his skill comes from him understanding the game, understanding what to do, and understanding what not to do. Jameis Winston has a big arm. Jameis Winston is super accurate. Jameis Winston is pretty athletic. Jameis Winston's an idiot. That's the issue. So it's not, you know, people think that Tom Brady was just going to be absolutely 100% better than Jameis Winston. It's like, dude, no, that's not. Jameis Winston's good. He got a lot of talent. He's just an idiot. Jameis Winston's just an idiot. And unfortunately, you can't be stupid and play quarterback. You can't do it.
You can't. And then it's all about styles, man. I mean, Tom's just not, that's not how he won you six Super Bowls, really. Throwing 20-yard bombs like he won with Edelman under, Wes Welker under, all those guys under. And the receivers he has and the coach he has is not meant for that. No. It's still kind of working, though, honestly. This team hasn't hit its peak yet. When they're really good, they can beat anybody. When they're off, they can lose. We saw the Kansas City game. I thought they gave him hell. I'm just disappointed. I'm not – Tom Brady, like, this man's 43 years old. I get it. But, like, I'm disappointed in the younger guys, like a Leonard Fournette. You know what I mean? Their defense, a lot of penalties. So I'm just
– but I think – pressure, though. That it's so weird how
– Well, yeah, they don't have 30 interceptions this year, though. I mean, I don't think – hopefully Tom Brady won't be throwing 30 interceptions. That's a little high.
It's just weird how the narrative has changed, because the Patriots suck and the narrative is, Bill Belichick needs Tom Brady. But the Buccaneers, when they struggle, it's, man, that, you know – everybody around Tom Brady sucks. No, dude, they just, like you said.
No, I don't.
He can't do those things. He's very good. I'm not bashing Tom Brady, but people think that when they talk about, when you look at John Elway, Peyton Manning, Steve Young, those guys, you know, I hate to keep saying Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston has so much talent. He has so much talent. They was able to throw it up 50 yards without even thinking about it on his back foot.
Yeah. That's not Tommy, what you need to win, though. But that's
no,
not.
No, you're right.
Unless you're Mahomes, because Mahomes can actually complete those passes. You well, can't really do that.
Just Jameis, and Jameis, he just didn't.
His throws. I mean, you just can't throw 30 interceptions, dude. Like at all, ever. Like you'll never win a Super Bowl or may really make the playoffs doing that at all.
And he threw those YOLO balls in college too. They thought that they coach him not to do it, and he just.
I think they win this game. Really, Tampa Bay it's a big win for them just because division game playing Atlanta. Already beat them. Going to go beat them again, hopefully, for the Tampa Bay's sake. And just get another win on the win column, man, because really this is a two-year plan. And right now it's going okay. I'd say it's like a B-. They still have a lot of work to do, but they're in it, man. The NFC is wide open. There's no – I'm a Packers fan. We're number one seed, but we can get beat in the first round. NFC is wide open.
I was leaning towards Tampa Bay as well. The only reason it's not on my sheet is because everybody disagrees. My understanding is that the money is flowing towards Atlanta. Everybody's betting on Atlanta. Kind of made me think twice, so I went away. My initial reaction is, that's a good bet for Tampa Bay. So I'm with you. My third best bet, I got the Minnesota Vikings giving 3 points to Chicago Bears. Both teams currently sit at 6-7, and they shouldn't be. Minnesota Vikings are pretty good. I think that we all, going into the season, thought that the Vikings were much better than the Chicago Bears. So I'm kind of betting based off of that. The Bears did snap a 6-game losing streak last week when they destroyed the Texans 36-7. I'm not reading too much into that, dude. I'm just not reading too much into it. It's the Houston Texans. I still don't think the Bears are very good. I'm hoping that they maybe fall into that college trap game level where they're more, they think that they're the shit and they're really not. They're not good at all. The Vikings lost to the Buccaneers last week, 26-14. Again, not their best showing, but I do think that the Vikings have more talent. I think that they're better coached. I think that their identity is more clear. So I'm going with the Vikings giving 3 points.
Oh, that's a tough game, man. Can they both lose? They can get in a tie. I mean, that's basically losing to me. But I don't like either of those teams really for obvious reasons. But that's a good one. I mean, Vikings are better, but I mean, Chicago's got a really good defense too, and they make plays. Trubisky's so annoying, man, because I know he. You like Jameis a lot, a little bit more than me. I feel like Mitch is kind of like
– he shows I like those Mitch more. I was Mitch. High on Mitch coming out.
I wasn't super high on Mitch, but I thought he had a lot of potential, and he still does. I don't know if it'll ever be there. Man, Chicago's just not good at picking quarterbacks really ever. Like Jay Cutler, obviously, but like even that didn't really like amount to anything.
Well, he only had 1 year of college experience under his belt. He kind of made that mistake himself by coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks I remember coming out in recent memory because he was – I mean, he had passes where he just absolutely threads the needle. He's very athletic, but you got to split the field in half for him. I mean, Marquise Williams, he sat behind Marquise Williams because Marquise Williams understood the offense better than Mitch Trubisky in North Carolina. And that's an issue. You can still kind of see that in his game. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just I like the bet. I think Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and those guys get it done. But, interesting to see who wins that game. It's a division rivalry, so it's always fun to watch those. And you can – I don't like betting on those games. Division rivalries, I hate it. I messed up last week because Detroit should have lost by a lot more, but it was a division rivalry. And they got Matthew Stafford. That's my guy right there, Matthew Stafford. Still feel bad for him. Got to trade him. Got to get him to a better team, man. Better organization. Lions just not good. My last game is KC over New Orleans. Got it at 3.5.
Okay.
KC, taking KC, even though they're, a 3.5-point fave. I know it's weird. It's weird I'm going against New Orleans twice because I actually like New Orleans. I think they give the Packers the hardest chance, especially when nine comes back. And Taysom's getting – he still played pretty good, though. He really sat in the pocket and made some throws. Like, I watched that game the whole game, and he really did make – he's getting better. It's just that, like, that offense is still kind of like – they need Drew Brees to really win the Super Bowl. They got to have Drew Brees. I love Taysom Hill. He's great. I think he's going to be – he is a quarterback of the future. And he's showing me that right now, but they're playing Kansas City. And Kansas City has been struggling. They're still winning.
They've lost the last two games against the spread.
They have. That's why I'm like, I don't know, man. I didn't touch them last week. I don't think. Yeah, I didn't touch them last week. I touched them the week before. I touched them KC Vegas. And I was going to take Vegas because, you know, I'm high on those Vegas Raiders. Uh-huh. But I took this instead because I think Kansas City – this is going to be so fun, man. Just watching all – you're watching half the damn Pro Bowl, I feel like, in this game. Watching Cheetah versus Marshawn, Kelce, you know, those linebackers and safeties. I mean, it's just – there's so much. Kamara, if you're a fantasy nerd, man, this is the game for you because, I mean, there's just Mahomes out there. There's DeMarcus Robinson, everybody. But, yeah, I got – 3.5, I'll take that. I think they went about 7-8 points. 6-7 points. Yeah.
I don't want to bet that game. The Chiefs have bit me in the ass too many times this year. Gun to my head, I'm taking New Orleans and hoping that they get back right because they played like shit last week.
This is a lot of people aren't taking this game. I've heard like a lot of people don't want to.
I mean, both these teams have looked, I mean, you know, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, but
yeah, and I think the Saints are still deadly, but they just, I mean, they don't have 9. Back there, and Taysom's like doing all he can, but I mean, he's not Drew Brees, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a hard game. Gun to my head, I'm taking New Orleans, but I can definitely. The Chiefs have so much talent, they can blow out anybody in 8 times. So.
Watch out for Honey Badger's game, spying on Taysom, doing a lot, bringing him, you know, in the box in the secondary. He's gonna have a big game, I think.
They got the tools to stop them completely for sure, and they got the tools to score every possession. But all right, man, that was good. That was there. We got our 3 bets done. We're kind of cutting it late, so we got to kind of pick and choose what we do. Donovan and I both wrote down our top 5 wide receivers and our top 5 cornerbacks. And then did you see another listener question?
Yeah, but we can get. I mean,
what's the listener question?
Our top 6 for college football.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Our top 6 is going to look a lot different, by the way. Shout out to my boy Steven that asked this question, by the way. He's all right. Well, number 1, Alabama. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
No, I got Alabama number 1. Sure.
Yeah. Got Notre Dame at 2.
We agree.
Yeah. All right. Number 3 for me is Clemson.
I got Ohio State.
Okay, number 4 is Ohio State for me.
Okay.
And they said 6, though. I got Cincinnati at 5, which is crazy, huh? Like, because it sounds like I don't like Cincinnati, but I do. I just don't. I mean, I'm just being.
I can get on board with that. I can get on board with Cincinnati. I didn't have them there. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I would have them 5.
I have them 5. That's Cincinnati 5.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
We're cool. We're cool there.
Oh, we do. Then I have Texas A&M 6.
I do not have them in there. So I got.
We agreed on more than I thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's at the end of the day, it's very obvious, right? That's what makes it so hard is because you know that Notre Dame's great, you know that Alabama's great, you know that Ohio State's great. You know that Clemson's great. The difficult part is how many ACC teams do you want to have up there? In my eyes, I'm trying to look at it. What right now, if the playoffs were to start today, who are the teams I'm taking? I'm taking Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and I really hate to say this, but I don't think Iowa State is a bad play. Why everybody talks shit about them because they lost to Louisiana, and they should. It's questionable, but at the same time, no one's saying anything. Why are they getting punished so harshly? When Clemson's out of conference game was against what, the Citadel? Do you know what I mean? Like Iowa State played a good Sun Belt team, a team that's gone to the bowl game the last 5 years, and we're punishing them. But these other teams are playing. I mean, Oklahoma played Missouri State or some shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you just look at their conference resume, it is pretty damn good.
So I mean, you like Iowa State at 6.
I'm assuming. Now you got to remember though, I'm trying to play it out in my mind. If these teams were on the table.
Oh, okay. You're saying they were on the table. That's different question. I mean,
so if they beat Oklahoma, I can envision them being. I can that. I'm assuming that they're beating Oklahoma.
If they beat Oklahoma, then I probably have them at 6 instead of A&M though. If they run the table, because that they're avenging a loss that they all lost to Oklahoma, right?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, they lost to Louisiana and Oklahoma State. Oh, they also went Oklahoma State. They beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, they didn't lose to Oklahoma. Yeah, they lost.
Oklahoma State by 3. So they beat Oklahoma twice in one season.
But I can't. I cannot with good conscience. See, that's the problem. Is I could put Iowa State. So here's what I want to do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I want to put the SEC champion in. I want to put the ACC champion in. I want to put the Big Ten championship in, and I want to put the Big 12 champion in. The SEC champion and the ACC champion, those two teams are getting in. I don't have to worry about that. Whether that's Florida or it can't be Florida. But whether it's Alabama,
if Florida beats Alabama. I mean, that's gonna
that opens up a whole
Alabama's still gonna make the playoff though.
So. Assuming these teams run the table, I'll just do it that way. Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Iowa State, and then I got Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina at 5 and 6. Okay.
I could see
maybe where I could have Clemson. Let's say Bama loses and Notre Dame loses. Then I would have Clemson, Ohio State, and let's say Iowa State loses. Then Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina. That's how that – in my mind, that's how that plays out. I cannot justify – I can justify – one loss in conference, I can't justify two losses in conference. Oklahoma's lost too many games for me to consider them. They've lost too many games against teams that they should own, if that makes sense.
But you said Iowa State with two losses, though, right?
Because Iowa State's got it's convoluted. See, this is where I sound like the silly one, but I am trying not to view the Louisiana Lafayette game. I'm trying not to punish them for that because not everybody – Oklahoma played Missouri State. If they would have scheduled,
yeah, but I mean, like they had Tennessee on that. I mean, and UCLA, like, I mean, now those teams aren't great, but like,
just look at it based
what
off
what of actually happened, not what could have been. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so like I know that Oklahoma, it's hard to like with Kansas State lost to Arkansas State. It's kind of hard to judge them for losing that game because that was the first game from COVID. You know, it's there's a lot of different factors that make me justify it in my head that probably aren't accurate. But Oklahoma lost to who'd they lose to?
Oklahoma lost to
Kansas State and Iowa State back to back weeks. Okay?
Kansas State and Iowa State. Yeah, a lot of injuries, man. A lot of injuries on that team.
Yeah.
I'm saying does that matter to you?
No.
Okay. No, I wasn't.
Are you familiar with that opponent, right? That's a team. Kansas State is not a good Big 12 team. You play them every year. You know what they're expecting. You got outcoached, outmaneuvered. Boom. I'm trying to view the regular season as a tournament within itself. That's why I would do away with the non-conference games.
Personally. I just take the best four. Like I know you emphasize conference a lot. I don't care what conference you're from. Like I just want the best four teams. Really. I mean, mine is the same. It's pretty much the same. I'm not gonna. It's just tough, man. Like, I mean, it's really not that tough because if those teams win, like, it's easy. Like, the teams that are favorite all win. Clemson wins.
If Clemson wins, Notre Dame's out. Do we agree on that?
No.
See, why, though?
Notre Dame's in. Like, Notre Dame's in regardless, pretty much, unless they get just blown out.
I think that's insane.
I mean, they already beat a top four team. Like, I mean, they still have the best win of any of the top teams in the country.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the difference, right? You're trying to find the best four best teams, and I get that. Yeah, but it's impossible. I think it's impossible to use rankings. I'm trying to have rules in my head. Okay, if you win your conference, you're eligible. If you only have one loss in your conference, you're eligible. I'm trying to set this checklist in my head. Right, because I can tell you that I don't know who the best four teams are. I don't. I can admit that. I really don't. There's a lot of variables there. That's why we play the games. If you would have asked me and you last week, if you would have asked 100 people on the street who's going to win Florida or LSU last week, everybody's saying Florida. There's a reason we play these games, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. I just think Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, those are my top four coming this season. They're still the same teams for me. It might not be that for everybody. Some people had Georgia in the top four.
Asking me
is like almost the wrong person because like those literally were my top four teams and like they're still the best teams. Like nothing changed.
See, if Notre Dame can't put Clemson away, they barely beat Clemson the first time with the backup quarterback. If they can't put him away with Trevor Lawrence there, they ain't gonna hang.
If they get blown out by more than what? I don't know what blown out is to some people. Some people it's 14. Some people it's 20, 28.
Points.
The spread's like 10 and a half, though. Like, if they lose by 13, like, it depends how they lose. Like, when did that 13 happen? Did it happen on a dump play at the end of the game? I mean, it's like.
That's what I don't like about that, is because there's too many variables.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, I'm saying, like, it's hard. But the Notre Dame's in. Like, I don't, unless they lose by, like,
yeah, see, that's just utter.
Like, if you're asking me, like, the question you're asking me, like, if I'm in the room, like Alabama, they lose to Florida, they're in. Still, like, they're not going to lose. But
I don't, why, I don't think you should be able to lose your conference and still be in. I think you got to, you got to control your own shit. Work on your shit at home. When you work on your shit at home.
I think A&M, if one of these teams lose, not one of them. If Clemson loses or Ohio State, Texas A&M's going to be in. And they didn't win their conference, but they're number six for me. They would jump probably a Cincinnati.
And that's insane. We just talked about Texas A&M beating. They've only played three teams with a winning record. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just how do you?
I don't want them to get in, because they're gonna, if Texas A&M gets in, they're gonna play Alabama again. I don't want to see that. I've seen them play each other. I've seen these teams play each other a lot. they're not gonna beat them ever. Like, really, like, unless Johnny Manziel comes back, but and Mike Evans and those boys, because that's the only time they did it.
But that's not the team I want to see.
But you're going to talk about deserving, or you're talking about who I want to see. That's a totally different. I don't want to see A&M in, but they're the most deserving if one of those teams lose. They got to beat Tennessee, though. They can't just.
I mean, and it's so weird that people talk with so much confidence in Notre Dame, but Notre Dame barely beat a Louisville team who blows. You know what I mean? Like, they let Boston College, who's not very good, score 30 points on them.
You're sleeping on BC, man. They're a pretty solid team. Dude, that's a hard get. That's a hard out.
Syracuse scored three touchdowns on them, and Syracuse is god-awful. Do you know what I mean? I mean, literally,
Notre Dame was never in doubt losing any of those games, though.
But is that what – so does that – what do you think
– why? But when you talk about scores, you can manipulate scores, though. Like, were they ever – do you ever think they're going to lose? The UNC game
– Cincinnati has the highest margin of victory of any college football team. So why? And I know that you're saying that they play shittier competition. And I get that, and I agree with you, 100%. I agree with you. But Notre Dame barely beat teams. I mean, is Louisville better than Memphis? No. I mean, Cincinnati beats the shit out of everybody.
North Carolina, I don't know if they can beat them. Like, I saw Notre Dame convince them. Yeah, I don't know if they can beat them.
But that's my point. You don't know. So why not just give them a shot? If Notre Dame can't win their shit at home.
I'm saying that's not even Notre Dame's best win, though. That's like their third best win, dude. And like, or second best. I guess it's their second best win. Yeah, their best win is Clemson.
But the only that's fair. That's fair. You can say that. But Cincinnati's only won games two. Their best win is still the best play team on their schedule. What else can they do?
Well, I want to see how. No, I really want to see how they lose versus Tulsa, because
Notre Dame loses and Cincinnati beats Tulsa by 60 points.
Well, Texas A&M's gonna get in, though. I mean, if A&M loses to Tennessee, then Cincinnati actually has a shot. But they need a lot of help.
That's not gonna happen. Tennessee's ass.
Well, so is LSU, though. So you never know, dude.
And that's my point. That's why we play the games.
That is why we play the games. No, I'm saying, if you're a Cincy Bearcat fan, you should be rooting for Tennessee this weekend.
I don't know why Iowa State scheduled Louisiana Lafayette. If I was, dude, yeah. These knockouts, it's wild, dude.
If they win that game, they're number five right now.
They should have played it. They shouldn't have played it, because if they would have played Mississippi School of the Blind like Oklahoma did, no one would say shit. Why? It's taken that. Just eliminate those schools. It cost Oregon. Oregon was beating Auburn. Well, Oregon also lost to Utah, so that's not the best example. But we can look at the playoff rankings before that game, and Oregon was winning the Auburn game for 59 minutes, dude. 59 minutes, and then they lose it, and now all of a sudden, Oregon sucks. Oregon sucks. And it's like, dude, that's.
Thanks, Bo Nix. Appreciate it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I still lost a lot of money on that game, so I'm salty. But yeah, you're right. I mean, those are my top six. Like I said, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, and then I got Cincy and A&M. That's my A&M and Cincy are like 1A, 1B. I can flip that tomorrow if I feel like it. I don't know who is better. Like, they're about even to me.
I just think that there needs to be cut and dry rules. This is how you get in. This is how many spots are there. This is how you get in. You know what I mean? And I know that Texas A&M is going to get in over Cincinnati, and I don't know why. We already saw Texas A&M get their ass waxed by Alabama. You and I both know Texas A&M their ass waxed by Alabama.
Well, not so, just them. I mean, they're going to put Iowa State or Oklahoma over Cincy too. Just, I mean, if I'm being honest, they are. Like, they already did. Oklahoma's 10, I think, but like if Oklahoma beats Iowa State,
I can justify Iowa State and not, and which is so strange. I can't in my head. I can justify Iowa State because I just feel like they're getting penalized so hard for losing that game that they skip. I mean, that's literally, if you look at all these teams, that's the toughest non-conference schedule for you. You keep talking about, oh, well, they play Clemson and North Carolina. Those are teams that they're supposed to play. Iowa State beat the teams that they're supposed to play. Do you know what I mean? It's the team. It's the.
I like Iowa State.
It's supposed to count, and it's just so how we value that. You know what I mean? No one gives a shit that Clemson played the Citadel, right? No one gives a shit. Why did Iowa State have to play a decent team? That's,
they didn't have to play that. I mean, they did. Notre Dame got in Notre Dame Clemson. Same thing. I mean, that wasn't originally supposed to happen. Notre Dame technically is not in that conference. Like that's. Technically, it's not a conference game. Technically, it is. I mean, it depends how you want to look at it. I look at Notre Dame as like an independent still. Like, I know they're playing in the ACC, but like, I do, because when they go back next year, they're going to be independent still. Like, I don't. I mean, maybe they'll keep. They should just keep them in the ACC, but they're not though, because Notre Dame makes too much money. Being an independent, so does BYU. They have TV contracts, but and I get that. But
schools, man.
I want Notre Dame to. They have so many, like, Army, Navy, rivalry, Air Force, USC. Like, USC is hurt, man. Like, we were supposed to play the number one and number two team in the country, and we would have lost both, but it still would have helped. Sometimes, like, when you just have teams on your schedule that are good, it just helps. Like, I would love if we had just lost to Notre Dame by 7. At least we could say, damn, well, that's a pretty damn good USC team. But we can't even say that. It's because, like, we don't play anyone good. I would rather lose to Notre Dame by 7. Then play freaking who do we play? Oregon? I mean, that's cool. Oregon, yeah, I respect
that's, Oregon. That's the thing. Are we 100% sure that UCLA couldn't run the track on Notre Dame or Arizona State? You know what I mean? Like, they're not played. They haven't played each other. Why are they not given an opportunity? You know what I mean?
UCLA. Like, I mean, dude, do I think UCLA could play? Anything could happen, but UCLA, going off of UCLA's track history with non-conference, no.
But dude, like Arizona
State, anyone can be anyone. Like on one day, but like if I had to,
all I'm saying,
yeah, if I had to bet though, no.
I just want clear and defined rules. I mean, I got to hear Kirk Kerbstreit talk about the eye test. Oh, the eye test. He talked about, dude, if I had a nickel for every time that dude said the eye test in reference to, because he had Florida like number 5 before the loss, he talked about it constantly. Everybody's like, why? Because, you know, Florida lost to Texas A&M. And he had him ranked higher than Texas A&M. And he's like, well, the eye test. Bro, they lost to LSU. So either you got to get your eyes checked.
The eye test, you can only take the eye. Yeah. You can only take the eye test to us. Everything has. Yeah, take that to it. I mean, if we want to get, like, my eye test is totally different from people I talk to. There's a team in my backyard that's passing the eye test with the quarterback. JT Daniels has been the most important player in the country. I've tweeted that out for the past month, and people are like, ha ha ha. I'm like, dude, like, you can laugh all you want, but like, JT Daniels at Georgia, top 4 team in my eyes. But it doesn't go, but we don't go off of that. You can't just say, I can't put Georgia in because of eye test. I think Georgia compete.
Everybody else does. Everybody, you know,
you can't, yeah. It's like, I watched Alabama versus Georgia with Dwayne Mathis and Stetson Bennett. If you put JT Daniels in that game, like, yeah, do they like win? Why? I don't know if they win, but it'll be a lot closer.
And we're giving Clemson a pass. We're giving Clemson a pass for losing to Notre Dame. Like, oh, well, they, you know, Trevor Lawrence was out. Bro, Georgia's different with JT Daniels. That I would say that it's a bigger drop off from JT Daniels to Stetson Bennett or whatever his name was to Trevor Lawrence to DJ. It's a way bigger drop off. That team is a different team. And no one gives them a break.
It's the biggest drop off in the top 10. Like, I don't know about the whole country, but like the top 10.
Dude, it's huge. Stetson Bennett couldn't throw anything.
I know every backup for the top 10 team, and except Cincy, I don't know who their backup is. But
I trust. Do you remember the Nerf tornado or Vornado, the Vortex Nado, the little Nerf? I wouldn't trust Stetson Bennett to throw that farther than 20 yards. He was terrible. He was god awful, dude.
Yeah, JT makes them a different team for sure. Yeah. But it's just too late, man. They already lost to Florida.
Bro, I'm just saying they need definite rules. This is how you get in. Now we get rid of the stupid playoff committee for full of 12 people that barely watch football. I mean, I'm sure they watch football, but what you're telling me, Condoleezza Rice? I mean, isn't she like a politician? She got better things to do. Do you know what I mean?
Former politician.
I feel like she's got a pretty busy schedule. Or like the AD from Iowa. Bro, don't you got like synchronized swimmers that you got to give scholarships to? Like, come on. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's stupid. It's just.
One of my USC boys is on there. We got two West Coast guys in there. I'm happy about that. I didn't even know that. I didn't know who's on the committee. Ronnie Lott's on there. Shout out to Ronnie Lott, dude.
See, that's dope. But still, I mean, you just don't need it. Just make up the rules. The NFL, no one questions what the NFL's doing. Make those rules. Or the FCS. Yeah. The FCS playoffs.
I hope it's Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. That way there's no controversy. And those are you can go back and look at my tweets. Those are my top four. Now the order is a little different. I had Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame as my top
four. Well, if I have to watch Notre Dame and Clemson play three goddamn times and Notre
Dame. No, you'd be watching Alabama and Notre Dame play.
Possibly. I'm just saying I'm gonna watch Notre Dame get their ass waxed twice in a row while Cincinnati.
They're gonna put Ohio State at four, dude.
Whoever Notre Dame plays in the playoffs, I feel like they're probably
going to. Oh, you're saying whoever they play.
Yeah, and I feel pretty confident they're gonna get their ass waxed against Clemson, and then whoever they're playing in the playoffs, they're gonna get their ass waxed again. So I'm gonna watch Notre Dame get their ass waxed twice. Meanwhile, Cincinnati's beating every team by 30 points, and it'll be undefeated.
You think Notre Dame has a better chance of beating Clemson or Alabama?
Clemson for sure. Alabama's the best team in the country. I never disagree with it. I know I bash on the SEC a lot, but the SEC is still the best conference. You know, Alabama's still the shit. Well,
I think Ohio State has the best team to beat Alabama. The best chance, excuse me. They match up the best to me.
I don't know.
I mean, I just don't think Notre Dame's fast enough. On the outside to keep up with Bama. I like Kyle Hamilton, but like that's not enough to keep up with that speed.
You're probably right.
And then Clemson, I can't wait to see Clemson or Dan. That's all I can say. Clemson's really good. I just don't know how good they are. This is going to really show me. This game is huge. This is the biggest Clemson game since, you know, the national championship, really, because this one's they lose this game, they're not making it. Like, two, they're not making it. I said Notre Dame's in if they lose, but Clemson's not making it if they lose. Like, so it'd be weird to not see Clemson. They've been in, I think, every college football playoff, right?
Have they?
Yeah.
I think they
made it. Yeah, they've made it every college football playoff. They haven't won it every year, but
It's wild how bad the ACC is typically. I think the ACC is probably the best conference this year. I don't know. Maybe not. Probably is the ACC. You can make it.
They had Deshaun Watson for 3 years and Trevor Lawrence for two. So, I mean, that's – or three years now. So, that's 6 years of two of the top 10 quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? So, that's fun for Dabo Swinney, I'm sure. But we'll see, man. I can't wait to see how it folds out. But, yeah, really the game I want to see is Clemson-Notre Dame. Like, that's the game I told my girl, hey, man, like – you know, we can have a fun weekend, watch these Christmas movies, and look at lights. But I gotta watch that at four. Yeah, we can do like four to 8 o'clock. I don't even, you know, I'd rather watch that over the USC game. You know, Oregon on best Friday night, so I get to watch both.
It'll be a good game. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, let's save the top five wide receivers and the top five cornerbacks for next week, since we're running over an hour and a half. We like to keep these things at 45 minutes. We're well over that, so we'll go ahead. We'll cut this short. That was pretty awesome. We got a couple listener questions and Sebastian over there on the YouTube chat. So we'll be looking to do more of this and trying to get better at this. But this was the Browns Wire podcast. You can follow me on Twitter, JoshKeely16. Make sure you like, follow, and give us a review. Donovan, where can they hit you up at?
Hit me up on Twitter at DonJamesSports. The name remains the same. Just working. National Signing Day. Didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Obviously, this is the first one, the early one, but like with COVID and just having all the top players sign early anyway. This is going to pretty much be your National Signing Day. Kids aren't really going to wait. They don't have time to do that with COVID and everything. And a lot of these kids, like Miller Moss from USC, never got to play his senior season playing in California. For high school football. They're not allowed to play till January. He's not going to play and participate in that. So he'll be at USC in January. A lot of those top-notch guys. Corey Foreman, who five-star recruit, he'll be committing tomorrow. He's not going to play for Corona Centennial. So, I mean, it's going to be weird high school football season. The rankings are off because there's teams on the West Coast not playing. So we'll talk about all that on Podcast Team Sports. And just follow me on Twitter on there. I'll put up my top 100 recruits for 2021.
Let's go.
I'll put up like 10 maybe or 20 for 2022. And I want to do a mock draft, dude. I haven't seen everybody do one. I just want to do one for fun, so I might throw some up.
Yeah, do it. We'll talk about your Browns on this pod.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this was the Browns Wire Podcast. I'm here now.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.